Welcome back. It is the Jordan Ridge Show. We continue our number two on this Sunday Eve. And I am really excited to welcome my next guest and chat with him about things. We were talking education in the first hour. Here's a guy who does all kinds of really neat things. He invents things that are very helpful for people. In some cases, a lot of fun for people. And to talk about curiosity, Lee Weinstein is here, and we'll talk about some of your inventions and your ideas and where they come from and how the process works. Welcome. Nice to have you.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
You come very highly recommended by last week's guest, Mr. Jim Cook.
Mr. Jim Cook is a wonderful man and a good friend.
How do you know Jim? Just friends?
I think I originally met Jim when I was volunteering at a place that put on personal growth courses that he and I had both gotten involved in, and he and I have been friends for years.
Jim Cook was here last week. He's the actor, educator who does Silent Cal, and he does characters, Daniel Webster. He's a great, great guy, and I know he's listening right now, I'm sure.
He is an astounding human being.
Well, let me ask you this. Before we talk about this really neat invention that you came up with to help people from clenching their teeth, you've invented a bunch of things. Can we just talk about some of the other things you've done?
Sure, absolutely.
All right.
I think probably the most fun thing that I have invented that people tend to know about is the game that's currently called Laser Tag. And that was the idea first dawned on me back around late 1983. I was living in Houston, and the idea came up during an in-swimming pool volleyball game that it would be really neat if there was a place where people could go and take part in what would feel like a space battle in the movie Star Wars.
Oh, that's my kind of guy. Yeah. Love that stuff.
So we found some people who would put up the money, and I did the design. The original place was called Star Laser Force. Mm-hmm. And it was a blast. It was a really, really fun project. In fact, the kids that used to work there would stay after we would close down at 1 in the morning every night. The kids that worked there would stay until 5 in the morning playing the game as one of their bonuses.
Laser tag is huge. It's still popular, I think, in some cases, right? I mean, still the arcades have them.
It's all over the world. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and we should mention that, Lee, you are you're an MIT guy, MIT grad?
MIT graduate, taught at MIT for a while, ran MIT's solar car team for a number of years.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great adventure, raced solar cars in different places all around the world.
Okay, so laser tag is one. Here's another one that our friend Lee here has invented. This is a great one, the radio fence.
Yes, that keeps your doggy safe.
That is also huge all over the world. Did you have a dog at the time or not?
No, I actually got hired to do that one. There was a group of businessmen down in Torrington, Connecticut, who the original fence was called Invisible Fence. And the problem with that particular kind of thing is if the dog runs over the line, he'll get a little shock as he goes over the line, and then if he comes home, he gets punished. Because when he crosses the line to come home, he gets blasted. Mm. And so he would stay out in the street and conceivably get run over.
Oh, yeah.
So we wanted to make a system that always knew whether the dog was heading out, in which case it would try and deter him, or coming back, in which case it would never hurt him.
And you did. You came
up
with a radio fence.
Yes.
Wow. A little later in this hour, I want to talk to you a little bit about the process of the patenting that we hear is so difficult and all that, but the ideas are terrific, and let's talk about one that is getting a lot of attention right now. There was a big article you just showed me in the Herald. The website for this is stopgrinding.com, and obviously we're talking about the grinding of teeth, which everyone does. And by the way, a little sidebar piece here, it says the troubled times are literally causing people aches and pains and forcing... Okay, they're grinding even more because of stress, right?
Yeah, we actually found an interesting thing. During the presidential election, the sales of this little venture, it's still a small venture, went up about 50% as people were getting really nervous about who was going to get elected. And then they kind of went back down. And then after the election, when the economic crisis really hit and these institutions started failing and stuff, the number of orders that we got basically doubled. People are under enormous stress.
And just for sake of argument here, you're not a dentist, right?
No, I'm okay. A scientist and an engineer, but not a dentist.
How did it dawn on you that this was the next project? Or did someone bring this up to you and say, we got to come up with something here? Or?
Well, that was an interesting story as well. I used to sit on a group of people who would review business plans of different inventors, and because I've done a lot of product development in my life on my own inventions and other things. And a dentist came to us one day with a plan. He had actually received a patent on a device that was a mouth guard that if you bite down on it, it would give you an electric shock on your tongue.
Okay.
And I had to laugh just like you just laughed when he brought this in. And at first it was very hard for me to take it seriously. But he pointed out that, you know, there are actually 30 million people in the United States who have worn down their teeth enough that their dentists tell them they need a mouth guard. And there's 3 million people in the United States who are in pain every day from the amount of clenching that they do at night. And this includes migraine headaches that are so debilitating they can't even get out of bed, chronic neck and jaw pain, real serious stuff that never goes away. So I got an appreciation of the problem from him. I told him, look, you're not going to put a lithium battery in somebody's mouth and let them grind through it. You'll never get any liability insurance.
Good point. So you did something a little different, and boy, is this different. I can't imagine how this would pertain to the mouth, because it doesn't go near the mouth. Tell me about it.
Well, it's a headband that you wear around your head. If people go to the website, stopgrinding.com, you can see some pictures there of a woman wearing it. And if you go to the press page, you can see me grimacing with it on my on my head in that Herald article. But what it does is it picks up signals that your brain sends to the muscles on your head that close your jaw. And it actually measures what your brain is telling your jaw to do. And it can tell how hard you're clenching your teeth from that. And you can set it to give you a little sound reminder against your forehead.
No electric. Fence at on your tongue. You're not zapping your mouth.
No,
pain here.
We attempt not to barbecue our customers.
So do you wake up when this happens the first time, second time, or what?
Well, you know, initially when we put it out there, that was a problem. And then we realized that people who were using it successfully, what they had done is they trained themselves during the day to respond to the tone by relaxing. And once you've trained yourself while you're awake to do that, usually it never wakes you up. You start to hear the tone, and subconsciously in your sleep, you just say, oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to clench. And you just loosen up your jaw, and you never wake up.
Because forever, it's been the mouth guard and that clunky thing that you put in your teeth. And I mean, they've been effective, but this is amazing because who thinks of these things? Obviously, you do. But this is amazing because it's through sort of almost Pavlovian response.
It is a Pavlovian response. And the thing about the mouth guard is it is effective for preventing you from wearing down your teeth, but it isn't actually effective for preventing you from biting hard. And you can really do damage to your jaw joint biting hard. You can get these headaches. You can get dizzy spells. So this treats the source of the problem.
Again, we're talking with inventor Lee Weinstein, who is an accomplished inventor. He's got many patents and many more pending. One of the newest things is this sleep guard, which is a machine, if you will, pretty simple to operate and very comfortable because you put it around your forehead, right?
You wear it around your head like a jogging headband, yes.
What a great idea. I want to take a phone call from Eric for you, and then we'll get to our guest on the line. Let's go to Eric in the car. Eric, welcome. You're on WBZ with Professor Lee Weinstein, the inventor. How are you?
Not too bad, Lee. I wanted to thank you. I had a blast with that laser tag.
Oh, excellent.
See that?
Now, are you more one of the sniper types or the Rambo types?
More of the Rambo, which got my butt kicked completely. In fact, my buddies told me, Eric, well, there's two of us, Kevin and Eric, never join the Army.
Uh-huh.
Because that's how bad we were. But we had so much fun with it, just especially at night. With the just running around and just...
Oh, so you bought the toy version that you could use at home and you run around in the woods or...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is back in the 80s.
Yeah, back in the 80s.
When did you first patent this thing?
Well, you know, it's interesting that being a patent agent and having many patents at this point, this was my first big invention, and I never actually did patent it. We had a patent pending. Uh-huh. I wound up selling that. The company that bought it made a lot of money on it, never finished prosecuting it all the way through, and then went bankrupt.
Wow. But you're still the man who put it together.
I'm the one who invented it.
Isn't that cool, Eric? You're talking to the man who gave you so much joy, huh?
Can you do another one?
Well, you know, I'll tell you a little story that I think is kind of cute that people sometimes like to hear about the game. When we built the first game in Houston, it was not a single-level game like the ones mostly are today. It had ramps and bridges and mazes, and you could go above people and below people. And there was only one type of group where people got hurt in the game. And the way they got hurt is they got so into the game, they thought they were invincible, and they would jump off second-story balconies onto concrete floors on top of their friends, you know, thinking that they were Buck Rogers. And the only groups of people that ever got this crazy into the game were Baptist church groups.
Huh.
Oh, my God.
I thought that was very interesting.
No dancing, but lots of laser.
Well, I figure maybe there was a little repression there, and they
could
really
be.
Needed to
hey,
get it out.
Eric, thanks for the call. It's really nice of you to call and represent all the great laser tag players.
Oh, thank you. Hey, Lee, do another one, and I'll be the first one with the credit card in line.
All right.
Okay.
I like the fact that kids don't grow up like Eric. Lee, if you can just hold on 1 second. We were looking for this gentleman. I just want to do a few minutes with him, and then we'll take a break and come back, have the rest of the hour with inventor Lee Weinstein. But on the line with me right now is Michael McCann. We missed Michael at the top of the hour. Caring for greyhounds is a key. This is National Adopt-a-Greyhound Month, and the Greyhound Project is ongoing. Michael, how are you?
I'm great, Jordan. How are you?
Fine, thank you. What should people be aware of in this key month of April? What can we be doing to help these animals and maybe bring some in?
Well, in Massachusetts, for instance, last year there was an election which did away with greyhound racing in Massachusetts. So
right.
In the beginning of 2010, there will be no more greyhound racing in Massachusetts, but there are thousands of greyhounds at these tracks, which will need to be placed in homes because they're going to be out of a job. So we're looking for homes for greyhounds all over the country.
Now these are animals that I know that they make excellent pets. I've had folks and friends who have them, and just talk a little bit about that, if you will, what they're like.
Well, there are a lot of misconceptions about greyhounds because they are so fast at the track, but people think that they're hyper dogs, but they're really sprinters. They're not long distance runners, so they run a little while and they walk a little while and they're done. We call them 40 mile an hour couch potatoes, and so they're a lazy, sweet, gentle, wonderful breed of dog. And if you're considering getting a dog for your family, please consider a greyhound. They're a wonderful, wonderful animal.
And this is the month where you guys focus attention on them, and I know that many people have adopted over the years, but I guess with the economy and things happening, we don't want to forget about these dogs. And your organization putting a big push on this month, Mike?
We have television ads going out nationwide right now, and we have a push in the press to really focus on these wonderful animals because there are so many of them that in need of good homes, and they just make a great, great pet. I've got four of them at my house.
Oh my goodness! Wow.
So we're doing our part, but we need more good homes for these guys.
Let me do this. Let me mention the web address, which is excellent, and people can go there if they want any info. Adoptagreyhound.org. Is that right, Mike?
That's right, but you have to put a hyphen between adopt hyphen a hyphen greyhound.org,
okay,
and that's
good.
Where we are.
Okay.
And there's also there's a couple of events going on in Massachusetts this month. April 19th, the Greyhound Pets of America is going to have a cocktail hour and a dinner from 2 to 5 at the American Legion Hall in Raynham. And Greyhound Friends in Hopkinton is going to be having a two-day event in May. These are all opportunities for people to meet greyhounds and get to know them.
Yeah, Greyhound Friends, good people. I've had them on the air in the past. Listen, Mike, thank you very much. You sound like you're in the middle of a busy highway traffic experience. I'm glad we caught you, and I'm glad I'll repeat that web address after we sign off. But thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time, Jordan.
You bet. Bye-bye. Be well. Thank you. That's Mike McCann with the Greyhound Project. Let me just give the web address one more time, then we'll take a break. Adopt-a-greyhound.org. Greyhound.org. This is the month to key in. We'll come right back with inventor Lee Weinstein and talk more about inventiveness when we return.
Much more to come. This is The Jordan Rich Show.
If you're buried...
You're never really ready to discover that mom and dad have gotten older and need your help. At WWJ.com, Caring for Aging Parents connects you to organizations and people who are experts in the field. Whether it's a healthcare question, a legal question, or options for housing, Caring for Aging Parents can help. Be prepared. Understand the options with Caring for Aging Parents at WWJ.com.
You know, you want a prediction about the weather.
Today the cold starts to ease out, high 50.
You think it's going to be an early spring?
Next weather in just 10 minutes on WBZAC.
Winter, slumbering in the open air, wears on his smiling face a dream of spring.
Spring in the air once again.
I'm feeling spring-like this week. In the meantime,
there will be growth in the spring.
Set a WBZ AccuWeather forecast.
Next weather in just 10 minutes on WBZ AccuWeather.
You know, I think that actually is spring.
Next weather.
Next weather.
Next weather in just 10 minutes.
WBZ News Radio 1030. Every day.
When news breaks, the choice is clear. WBZ News Radio 1030.
We're back, and my guest in studio is a really cool guy and a very nice man, too, Lee Weinstein. He is an inventor, and several projects ongoing, several projects that have become part of the landscape from the laser tag community and the fence, the radio fence that the doggies know about. And now a new one called, it's a machine, stopgrinding.com, which basically wraps around your head. It's called the sleep guard, and by doing so, you can ward off that gnawing feeling. Yes. Tell me how this works. Where do they buy this? I mean, do they simply buy it online?
They buy it online. Go to the website, stopgrinding.com. One of the things that I'm really on a mission to do with this invention is to two things. One is get people who are in pain a way to get out of pain, because the people who are really biting all the time in the middle of the night, even if you have a mouth guard, you can bite on the mouth guard and you can wind up with a migraine headache all day long. So what I do is I actually offer this thing for free for 3 weeks, mm-hmm. meaning we ship it to you, you try it. If it doesn't work, you ship it back. You don't pay us anything. You don't even pay us the shipping.
What do the dentists think of this? I know you have some feedback from dental experts. Are they happy with this type of stuff or not?
Well, you know, it varies from dentist to dentist. I think there are two big camps in dentistry, those who are really out there to make money and those who put the other things first. And the ones who make money say, there's no money in this. I don't want to sell this. You know, a mouth guard costs about $15 worth of material to make and sells for $500 to $700 and has no money back guarantee. Mm. This thing costs $100 to make, actually more than that. And if you use the rebate, you can own it for less than $200 and you can have it free for 3 weeks to try to begin with.
When you're thinking about a project and you're a scientist and an inventor, are you thinking ahead as to the marketability of something? I mean, I'm a big Edison fan, read his biography and so forth. And, you know, he had so many things going on and so many ideas floating around, but he was also a damn good marketer, a business guy. Are you thinking about that? Because, I mean, you can invent a dozen things, and if nobody has any interest in them, they won't.
I do these days, and I'm definitely not as savvy a businessman as Edison yet. I'm working towards that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how savvy he was when he first started. But in the beginning, you know, like with laser tag, I was just totally gung-ho. I thought, this has got to work. And it did, and I got a little spoiled from that, frankly. Mm. You know, that initial success, I thought that was going to happen every time, and it doesn't.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and it can be frustrating. And there are people probably listening around the country who are thinking, wait a minute, this is my invention. I know I've got an idea, and I know it can work. But they haven't thought through all of these steps, and it's a very difficult – isn't it a very difficult process to get a patent?
It's an involved process. I think part of what's daunting to people is that it takes expertise that the average person doesn't have. And there are a lot of organizations out there that, I don't know, call them organizations, little fly-by-night things that feed on people like that. You know, they say, oh, we'll take your invention. Mm. We'll find you the best patent representation and we'll hook you up with industry and we'll blah, blah, blah. And most of them don't have any capability to do that. And they're just money, you know,
yeah,
money
yeah.
grabbing places.
Yeah, and now on the internet, you got to be careful because that there are all these sites that claim they can do things, and you just really got to be real careful. Incidentally, before we break at the bottom of the hour, you're also looking at educating yourself in patent law more and more, I was reading, right?
Well, when I was first starting out, I had a patent attorney down in Houston who was a wonderful guy who actually helped me learn a lot about patent law. And I eventually went and took the patent bar exam myself, and I am a registered patent agent now. I do all my own patents, and I also do some for friends.
Interesting. And so you know how it works on the other end.
I do indeed know how it works all the way through. And, you know, there's lots of things to know there. So I can understand the average person being daunted by that. But I'm somebody who really encourages invention. I love speaking to students at schools and, you know, talking about how laser tag was developed and encouraging kids to invent and bring their ideas forward, because I think it's a wonderful way to live.
You know, some would say that in this amazing era, 2009, just about all the things you can think of have been invented. Well, obviously they haven't. But do you run into that? Do you run into people who say, hey, Lee, you know, what more could we possibly come up with? You know, we even have that flying car that the Museum of Science showed off the other day, which the Jetsons came up with first. Seriously, how do you respond to that?
Well, you know, what I find is that for me, the number of new things that I come up with goes up every year. Mm. And for instance, in the past 2 years, the new things that I've been working on, it's a system, the world's most advanced phone system for prisons, which automatically catches criminal activity on the phones in United States federal prisons.
What's the name of that, by the way? Do you have a name for that? Because I did a voiceover project once, not too many years ago, and I think what is it called?
Well, the company that's making it is JLG Technologies. My friend Jay Gainsborough founded it, but I'm the original inventor of a lot of the technology in it. And, you know, as you were saying, well, everything must have been invented. Well, it's only been in the last few years that computers have had the capability to deeply analyze voices.
Yes.
And so suddenly we've got the capability to make a system that can automatically track down criminals that other criminals are calling from their voices.
And that's a huge deal with prisons, I guess, the amount of criminal activity that has gone on just by them using the phones, right?
Huge amount, yeah. Because we allow inmates to make calls, which we should, right?
Right.
And we restrict the numbers that they're allowed to call, and we think that restricts something, but, you know, their wife or girlfriend or brother can three-way call them through, and a lot of people who are in prison for running, for instance, drug rings, quite successfully and easily continue to run them while they're in prison.
We have a lot to talk about with Lee. We're going to do so in the next half hour. Holistic Technologies is the company. He's the CEO. And I love the fact that you have you can't wait to probably get up in the morning and think of things. I love that.
Sometimes, yes.
Sometimes you get a mental block like the rest of us. He is human, folks. Yes. We'll talk about some of the other inventions, too, and these ideas and how they percolate and how we need to instill this wonderful, inspirational, enthusiastic approach to life to our kids, and you're doing that on a regular basis. So stand by. We'll come back in just a moment, talk more about invention and why it's so critical. Right now, news and information also critical here on WBEZ. We shall return.
CBS News Update, I'm Tom Foti. Central Italy has been rocked by a strong earthquake, 6.3, centered in the mountains, but very much noticed in Rome.
It was about 1 minute of earthquake. It was very, very strong.
He was staffing the night concierge desk at the Hotel Hassler Roma.
4 or 5 guests come down to the lobby because they were just being afraid. And in about 10-15 minutes, they back to the rooms.
CBS's Sabina Castelfranco also got shaken awake.
It was the middle of the night. I was in bed. I was woken up because I was moving in my bed. The bed was shaking. And my husband said to me, "What's going on?" I said, "I don't know. The whole bed is shaking." And he said, "Must be an earthquake." I said, "Yeah, definitely must be an earthquake."
It hit about 3:30 a.m. local time and was centered in the mountainous Abruzzo region east of Rome, where there are reports of collapsed buildings and fears of casualties. CBS News Update, I'm Tom Foti.
Men and women, if you've got 10 to 30... It's the grand opening of the newly expanded indoor Linway Mart and Flea Market on the Linway. Thousands of added indoor vendor spaces available with hundreds of established vendors. Everything for your home, auto, clothing, furniture, jewelry, luggage, electronics, games, you name it. The vendors at the indoor Linway Mart have it all at great savings and indoor comfort. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 10 to 7, Sunday, 10 to 6, and the Flea Market on Saturday and Sunday. You'll find it at the Linway Mart on the Linway in Lynn.
Traveling to Chicago? Be in the know before you get there with WBBM780.com. Get the latest local news, traffic reports, up-to-the-second Chicago weather, sports scores, Bears coverage, business news, and more. Plus, hear features and stories that are uniquely Chicago that you just can't get anywhere else. Whether you're traveling to Chicago for fun or business, know what's happening before you arrive with WBBM780.com.
Sounds like a case of the Mondays.
Monday morning, no tenderly.
Ed Walsh.
Deb Lawler.
Walt Perkins.
News Radio WBZ.
Join us Monday morning to start the week right.
It's finally here. Opening day for the Red Sox. We'll take you to Fenway Park for all the pregame festivities. You'll hear from Red Sox players and CEO Larry Lucchino about the start of the 2009 season.
Weather on the 10s and traffic on the 3s.
All you need to start the day.
Join us Monday morning.
WBZ News Radio 1030.
Traffic on the 3s, weather on the 10s, WBZ News Radio 1030.
They say that Boston is the hub of the universe. Why not? When we have people like my guest in studio who's thinking of great things and putting it to good use. His name is Lee Weinstein, inventor, patent agent, and his latest invention is one we're talking about called Sleep Guard, which helps people with the grinding problem, and unlike wearing one of those mouth guards or being zapped in the middle of the night, it's a very gentle way to do that. Stopgrinding.com is that website, but you've got a bunch of things. We're just talking about this other one called Lotto Lighting. It doesn't shine a light on a lottery, but what is Lotto Lighting?
We haven't lit up the lotteries yet. I think they have enough of their own light. Lotto Lighting was something that was both my friend Tom Devlin and I invented together. If you've ever walked into a department store and looked up at the ceiling, there are hundreds of track lights up there that are aimed at different angles, lighting the seasonal merchandise displays. And every time a store changes over their displays, they have to send people up on tall, rickety ladders and re-aim all these lights. So what we thought was, well, why not make a little laser-selectable light module that then you could remote control from the ground so you never have to send anybody up on a ladder again? And that's
it
what
saves time and probably injury.
Yeah. Could. Potentially people can definitely get hurt up on those ladders, and it does pay for itself in less than a year from the labor savings.
So, Lee, the approach that many inventors take, and maybe you do too, would you look at the problem first, or does there even not have to be a problem for an invention? I mean, the laser tag thing was sort of fun. You wanted to incorporate some fun from Star Wars, but what are you doing? You're looking at a problem saying, how do we fix this?
I think it's never happened for me the same way twice. Mm-hmm. I think part of what the real essence of it is just the inspiration that the world can keep changing and getting better and be unimaginably different in the future, and just that it's fun to make that happen. And, you know, it could be any type of situation. I could be sitting at a party. I remember, you know, when you're an inventor, a lot of people come up to you and they tell you about their invention. And I was once at a party, and somebody came up to me and told me something, and I have no idea who this was. I couldn't track them down. I don't own the invention because I didn't think it up, and they never contacted me to do anything about it, but I thought it was a brilliant idea. This woman came up to me and said, well, why don't you make a watch that can tell you how much of a suntan you've gotten?
Hey, okay.
And one of the things about, you know, I think to be a good inventor, probably one of the things you do is you technically educate yourself to learn what's possible and what can be done with the technology that's out there these days and what's still a pipe dream or not practical for some reason. I thought about that one for like 2 seconds and I thought, that's really easy to do. You know, that could be built into almost any digital watch. You could just hit a button for it to start measuring the ultraviolet exposure, and then you could dial in how much of a tan you wanted, and it could tell you when to go inside. And I don't think anybody's ever made it, but...
Hey, let me ask you this. A few years ago, the the buzz about this machine that was being invented by our friend in New Hampshire.
Ah, yes, Dean Kamen's machine.
The Segway.
Yes.
And before it came out, it was a tremendous promotional piece where we didn't know what it was, but this,
yes,
this would revolutionize. All right, I want to ask you two things about that. One, do fellow inventors know that, come on, you know, we know what's going on here. It's a PR gimmick.
Sure.
Did you have a sense that this thing, now we know that it's the Segway, we know it's the people mover thing. It hasn't really taken off. Paul Blart, the mall cop, uses it, but, you know, come on.
Right.
Tell me about your reaction to that.
Well, on the one hand, I enjoyed it because it's actually rare that any inventor gets into the limelight. And Dean Kamen is a good showman. You know, you talked about Edison's ability to promote himself and market himself.
Yep.
And Dean Kamen has had that on and off through his career. I mean, before the Segway, he had invented a wheelchair that you could sit in that could climb stairs, and it could also shoot you 6 feet up in the air if you wanted to get something out of a cabinet, you know, it had this scissor jack type thing, mm-hmm, in it. And so I think he's done some good stuff. It tends to be way out in the economic fringe, you know, nothing that,
yeah,
people can really,
yeah,
afford. And I don't know how he got hooked up with, you know, the founder of Amazon.com and got that all promoted through them and everything, but he did, so hats
did
off
indeed
to him.
He did indeed. You know, sometimes the inventions we're talking about, you're doing a lot of electronics and the digital work and so forth, but a lot of the inventions that patents are written for, maybe as simple as a certain kind of cap on a jar, right? I mean, a lot of things,
absolutely,
are very practical things that we,
oh yeah,
we hear about.
One patent attorney that I used for a couple of years before I started doing my own patents, the way I would interview patent attorneys, and I can recommend this actually to people if you're searching for a patent attorney or a patent agent. First of all, is patent agents are generally less expensive. They are people who don't have a state law bar certification, but they are only licensed to practice before the Patent and Trademark Office. So they're often less expensive, and they often won't rip you off as much as some patent attorneys will. I'm not saying that all do, because they don't. But the I'm sorry, I got a little bit lost there. So remind me what you just said.
Oh, no, we were talking about patent attorneys. You were saying what to look for. And
so you want to...
because you may have something very simple.
If you have something simple, look for somebody who has done a patent that made money.
Okay.
So the way I used to interview the patent attorneys before I would decide whether I would work with them is I'd say, show me a patent that you've written that was on an invention where the patent was licensed and made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And preferably, if I could, where it was licensed and made a lot of money and somebody tried to rip it off and you successfully defended it.
Yes, it could go. That's a sign of a good patent lawyer. Because there really is a... and it's been this way. I read a book and had the author on, can't remember the title, you may have read it, about Alexander Graham Bell, and it's a recent book, and it's about whether or not he really did indeed make that telephone ring the way it rang, or somebody else did around the same time. It's fascinating, and it's really all about the law, about the patent, who got to the patent office first.
Oh, there's a lot of that,
a lot
for
of that
sure
going on, yeah.
You know, like between Edison and Tesla and things like that.
Mm.
Sure, there are lots of cases in history where you could say, well, maybe if we really research this, somebody else invented it first.
You know, Lee, we are faced, I think we tend to generalize, and the media tends to put a picture together of the American economy being stuck and recession. We don't know that. But I think, gosh, there's so many inventive people, and you're one of them. You've worked, I'm noticing, in corporate America, and you've done things for major companies, including work for energy. What have you done? What have you helped us do with energy? I understand it has something to do with underground search for oil and stuff like that. Or?
Well, I did work for a while as an engineer at Schlumberger, which is the world's premier company does measurements underground and tells oil companies when they've found oil and how deep underground it is and stuff like that. So I had worked on that. That was not part of my inventing. That was pretty straight engineering work. I've done some patent work in the energy world in a completely different place. My father is a rather famous physicist, and he's got probably the last 100 world's records for the highest magnetic field ever sustained in a high-temperature superconductor.
Very cool.
And
not everyone can say that.
And some of the superconducting materials that my father has invented would enable and could now enable, for instance, you think of an electric motor, let's say something pretty big that runs maybe a municipal city water pumping system, maybe a 10,000 horsepower electric motor. It would be the size of your living room. Well, with my father's superconducting magnets, that thing could be the size of an office desk.
Mm.
And it could run on significantly less energy, probably 25% less energy.
You say could. Why isn't it yet?
Well, the funding hasn't been brought to make these things commercially viable. They've been shown in the lab to work, and there's a lot of contention over patent rights. And there's, for instance, my father's patent application on that particular invention has been pending before the United States Patent and Trademark Office for 20 years.
Oh, my gosh. And why is that? I mean, why is it simply red tape or people fighting it? Or
Well, we were told it was a very interesting circumstance that happened in the early prosecution of that patent, probably 5 years into the process. My father flew to Washington with his patent attorney, and they met with the examiner. And the examiner told them face-to-face, although not in writing, that there were people in high political places who were going to make sure that this did not issue.
Yeah.
And those kind of things do happen. Now we're told by the patent office that whatever the current conditions are, and we don't know what those are in there, that they're going to make sure that it does issue. And they seem to be working with us to issue it, but they haven't issued it yet, so I don't know if that's going to happen.
Wow. My guest is Lee Weinstein, inventor, accomplished inventor. We're talking about his various projects. His latest is the really cool device, and it helps you stop grinding your teeth, hence the website Stop Grinding. It's called the Sleep Guard. Also, the laser tag game, which is played worldwide. And I'm reading here again. I found an article in Ezine. Is that what it's called? Ezine article?
Yep.
It says here, Lee has been inventing since he was 13, when he invented a device that could answer the phone before it rings. Okay.
Oh, that was fun. That's true. I forgot that.
You invented a device that could answer the phone, so picks it up before it rings.
I remember. I was in junior high school, and my father had bought me a voltmeter, and I was playing around looking at the voltage on the phone lines of the house, and I happened to be looking at the voltage on the phone lines just before the phone rang, and the normal voltage of a phone line when the phone's not ringing is about 48 volts, and I saw the voltage drop down to zero for like a half a second, then come back up to 48 volts, and then wildly whack around as the phone rang, and I thought, if it does that every time, I could know when the phone was going to ring. And so I had somebody call me, and yep, it did it again. So I built an electronic box that would, would plug my phone in my room into this box, and I would plug the light over my bed into the box, and it had a relay in it. I would leave the phone, my phone was left off the hook, and what this box would do is when the phone was about to ring, it would connect the phone line to my phone and turn on the light over my bed.
Much like our panel here, because you invented what we rely on. The phone ringing. The phone rings in the studio, it just lights up in a way, or it lights a light on the ceiling sometimes. But that's what you did that for yourself at 13.
I did it, and cool. it was for mischief. It was so that I could call my friends and they could call me at 2 in the morning and we could arrange to sneak out of the house and meet downtown without our parents knowing. And we did it successfully. It was a lot of fun.
Necessity equals invention in this case.
Yes.
What's interesting about that story is you had then and you seem to have now, and people who do this with so much passion seem to have almost a youthful exuberance about this. Do you still have that youthful exuberance about the concept of inventing, of creating?
Oh, yes. Oh, it's a fun game. It's a very, very fun game. And, you know, when you think of something that hasn't been done before and you think of something cool to do with it, you know, sometimes for me the fun is purely that it's fun, like laser tag was just pure fun. Sometimes the fun is, wow, this can really help people, you know, like this can get 3 million people out of pain. I want this out there. You know, that's the case with the Sleep Guard biofeedback headband. Sometimes the fun is, wow, you know, there are criminals committing these crimes on the phone. I can catch them, you know, and you think up things to do that they won't know that you know how to do. And yes, it's always fun.
I interviewed Dr. Kaku. Do you know who he is? The physicist?
No.
He's got a radio and TV career, and he's written books about physics. He's a lot of fun. I forget his first name. He's Japanese. And he has the same exuberance that you have, because I said, well, what inspired you as a kid? And he's a little older than you, I think. And he said, Buck Rogers and all the fantasy and science fiction.
Absolutely.
And so forth. Take that away. You take away imagination. Were you a science fiction reader?
Not a science fiction reader, but I remember watching cartoons. Like there was this, Speed Racer. The Mach 5 was this car that had all these inventions attached to it. You know, you'd push this button and this would happen, and this robot would come out of the car, or the car would leap into the air. There was another one about an underwater hero named Marine Boy who had oxygum, which was an invention that allowed him to breathe underwater, and he had this super boomerang that he could throw that did these amazing things. And, you know, most of it's not practical, but it's in the right direction. You know, it's got that kind of feeling to it.
Well, H.G. Wells, Jules Verne, all these guys were writing well before the machine age that we know of today, and they were coming up with ideas for submarines and for rockets to the moon and all this kind. Hey, we have to take another break. We'll do so. This is really fun. My guest is Lee Weinstein, and boy, invention and creativity and products on the market and how the process comes about will continue right after this.
You're listening to The Jordan Rich Show.
Get back to bed.
Never miss a beat on what's happening in the world on today's Tweet Sheet.
Last weekend, we profiled all the celebs tweeting these days. Certainly part of the reason for the recent success, growth, and use of the tweet. But what are they tweeting about? Despite the broken collarbone, Lance Armstrong told his followers he went for a ride, to the dismay of his doc. Mark Cuban complained about refs and was fined by the NBA. And Jimmy Fallon supplies daily behind-the-scenes musings at the taping of his new show. For daily updates on trending topics, follow CBS Radio on Twitter right now.
Another big storm is hitting greater Boston today.
The extended WBZ AccuWeather forecast.
You may find yourself
really coming down now
without an umbrella in a storm.
Next weather in just 10 minutes on WBZ.
And you may find yourself
close to a mile back up
behind the wheel of a large traffic jam.
WBZ's Traffic on the Three.
And you may ask yourself,
an accident downtown.
Well, best alternative.
Why am I not locked on to BZ?
It's more than just a bunch of talking heads.
This is information you could use.
WBZ News Radio.
10:30 every day.
Good coaching leads to success. That's why Jomar Distributors is such a favorite of heating contractors and plumbers. With Jomar locations in Watertown, Dedham, Woburn, Taunton, and Framingham, heating contractors and plumbers can depend on Jomar for the hands-on coaching and on-site tech support to make your job easier. Make your job easier. Jomar Distributors is your complete heating and cooling supply house. Jomar Distributors in Watertown, Dedham, Woburn, Taunton, and Framingham. Online at jomardist.com.
Do you ever take ibuprofen or acetaminophen for pain? Hi, this is Gil Santos, and I want to tell you about a new pain reliever called Stay Active, developed by doctors at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. If you're active and ever suffer from aches and pains, rather than just mask pain with drugs, try all-natural Stay Active capsules for both pain relief and accelerated recovery. Stay Active is safe and non-toxic. It won't harm your stomach, liver, or kidneys like other pain relievers. Stay Active also comes in an unscented topical cream. So for pain relief, try Stay Active. Visit StayActive.com today or call 800-959-6484 to receive a 10% discount on Stay Active, the choice for pain relief. Here's the spelling, StayActive.com, or call 800-959-6484 for your 10% discount on the all-natural pain reliever, Stay Active. That number again, 800-959-6484. Be pain-free naturally. Get Stay Active today.
Accurate traffic reports every 10 minutes. Back on the Three, WBZ News Radio 1030.
Welcome back. This is Jordan, and my guest, Lee Weinstein, is talking with me about invention and all of its various offshoots and the inventive life and so many successes. I imagine as well as successes, there are those that don't succeed. I mean, an inventor is probably like a weatherman, not always right. Right?
Well, there's lots of ways not to succeed, too. One of the ways not to succeed is for somebody else to have thought of it just before you did.
Mm.
And that happens very often. Mm. So, for instance, I would say that 75% of the ideas that I've had and I've gone to the, well, now it's actually easy because you can do it over the internet. You go to the Patent and Trademark Office's website at uspto.gov, that stands for United States Patent and Trademark Office.gov, and you start typing search terms in just like you would on Google, only it's into their proprietary database, and you look for phrases that would have been in a patent of somebody who invented the thing like yours. Mm. And 75% of the time you find somebody invented it before you did. And I would say, let's say 50% of the time you find it. 25% of the time you don't find it. You go through all the trouble to write up the patent application, because patent applications don't get published until they've been in for 18 months. So there's an 18-month invisible window where somebody could have thought of it and you don't know. And so you go to the time and trouble and money, if you're hiring somebody, to write up the patent application, and you put it in. And a good fraction of the time, what will happen is you'll find out a couple years down the line when that patent application's being examined, they'll say, oh, no, this got invented before you. It just wasn't visible to you at the time.
Lee, do you have a sort of a broad overview look ahead as to, you know, what's going to be the next major wave in science? This digital stuff that we're into is amazing. I just love it. I'm an analog guy from way back, but I love the digital explosion. We all know about virtual reality and the internet and all that, but I mean, is this where we're going to be, say, for the next couple of decades, do you think, or is there something around the corner that might be just revolutionary in terms of either energy or the way we communicate? I mean, what's out there that inventors are looking at broadly?
Well, you know, several things come to my mind when you ask that question. First of all, you know, things that are moving ahead with unbelievable rapidity are the biosciences. You know, we're learning more and more about how the human body and the human brain operates, and there are an unbelievable flood of inventions in that realm. And some of it's pretty scary, some of it's pretty exciting. You know, my friend Hugh Herr, who works, he's a professor at MIT, he lost both of his legs in a hiking accident when he was young. He almost froze to death in a blizzard, I believe is what happened. And he's spent the rest of his life working on developing artificial limbs. And he is the leader in that. I've done some patent applications for him. And, you know, he's told me about research that's going on developing the ability to grow muscles in a laboratory out of, you know, starting with stem cells. Let's say you, I think it would be possible a short number of years from now that if you are have a heart condition, that we will learn how the signals work that teach stem cells to grow into a heart. And we will probably learn to accelerate the growth patterns so that we could grow you a heart in the lab and put it into your body.
One of the things that I just saw, again, more research on, the ability for someone with their mind to affect something physical, in front of a person is, say, paralyzed, and they can, through thought, direct something to happen, a machine to turn on or off. That, to me, is Star Trek. We're now in, that's so amazing to me, the power, the electrical impulses in the brain. Wow. Just blows me away.
Yeah, I mean, there are simple cases of that where there's a tiny little grain of rice-sized electronic thing called a bion, which is, its job is to, let's suppose you've lost some section of a nerve, like your leg muscles are still functional, but some piece of your spine that was connecting them to your brain no longer is. There is actually the technology now starting to be available for you to pick up other nerve signals on an electronic grid, have a non-nerve transmitter device that's implanted in your body, transmit the signals down to the muscles that still work, and for you to relearn how to use your leg through that. There's another thing, there's a device called a tongue camera, where one of the areas of the body that has the densest the highest density of nerves is the tongue. Mm. It turns out you can put a physical device on your tongue that you can learn to see through if you're blind.
Wow. Just amazing. We're running out of time quickly here, but maybe you can invent an invention that will stretch an hour. But seriously, it's inspiring to know, Get Out, to know that there's so much potential in all of us and in all of this world. And I know that when we talk about these calamitous problems, whether it be energy or pollution, there are ways, people will come up with ways to solve them.
I think one of the biggest opportunities right now is global warming in terms of we need to come up with so many inventions to solve the problems and make sure that our coastal cities don't wind up as an underwater amusement park.
Well, I hope you're up for the task. You seem to be.
I'm certainly interested in it.
Well, as I said, you're interested in everything, and we didn't get to half of the stuff that you're doing, but let's remind people that if they want to find out more about his latest invention, and I'm very happy to give this website, it's stopgrinding.com, and it's really cool. There's a lot of press on it, and I know you. How many patents pending? Just how many projects out there are sort of in the works? Just give us a ballpark.
I probably have about somewhere between 40 and 50 patents pending, and an enormous number of projects in various stages. Most of what I'm putting my time into these days is running Holistic Technologies, which makes the biofeedback headband at stopgrinding.com, mm-hmm. which people can try for free. Mm-hmm. And also the thing that I mentioned where that I'm working with my friend Jay on prison phone systems to catch criminal activities.
I am so glad we met. You're a great guest. We could do this again sometime. We'd come back for an update on what's happening. This is really fun.
Okay.
And Lee Weinstein, a very, very bright and affable chap, and very happy to say that he's a friend of this program now. And if we have to invent the wheel all over again, this guy will do it. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
I'm going to leave things to Bradley. Bradley Jay is in for Steve coming up. And I want to say thank you to Rob, who, by the way, was very keen on what you were talking about with the phone and the lights and all that, because Rob's very inventive. Thank you to Rob for producing the show. And I'll be back next. Oh, I'll actually be back tomorrow night filling in for Dan at 8 o'clock. So go Red Sox. And as always, we say be well so you can indeed do good. This is Jordan Rich, as always, saying good night, good morning, God bless you, and God bless America. Bradley coming up next. Have a nice week.